or to help us understand the Global Human Development Report. I'm joined by UNDP's economic advisor, Fatmata Sese. She also featured in the report earlier. Good morning, and it's good to have you.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having us here.
Right. So just give us an overview of this report.
Thank you very much. As we are aware, UNDP publishes the Global Human Development Report every year. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned already in the introduction that Human Development Report looks at three indicators, which is GDP per capita, life expectancy, right, to look at the health sector, mm-hmm, as well as education and literacy. So for this year, and every year UNDP selects a particular theme. Mm. You already mentioned the theme for this year, which is around the Anthropocene and the age of humans. So in addition to these three indicators, UNDP added, which is what is called the Planetary Pressure, mm-hmm, Human Development Index. And they're looking at how we are going about ensuring human development, improving the three indicators, but vis-a-vis the impact and the pressure we are placing on the planet. Mm. So that's the difference about this particular report this year.
Right.
And it's saying we cannot just measure human development and say things are working out well, but how are we doing this in consonant with the planet and the environment?
Right. And yeah, from those three particular themes, I pick out an Anthropocene. What is this and how relevant is it to human development?
Thank you. The Anthropocene, one thing to know about it, and put in simple words, is the age of the humans. Mm. This is the age where humans are the dominant force shaping the future of the planet. That's what it means.
Right.
And how do we get to see this? And how does it play out? The report also indicates this. We see wildfires in many parts of the world. We see flooding. We observe a decline in wildlife. And we experience COVID-19 this year, which they're also connecting to some of these activities that we see in the age of the Anthropocene, the age of the humans, the age where in our actions, our activities are impacting on the planet, and that is coming back to us,
right,
in the forms of diseases that we see, etc. Just allow me to put this into context for South Sudan,
please.
Even in the age of the Anthropocene. Mm-hmm. South Sudan this year, we have experienced locust outbreak. It did from South Sudan. It included a number of countries in East Africa. Mm. That has impact on food security and, of course, impact on livelihoods of people in general. At the same time, this year, we also observed flooding in a number of countries, not only even in South Sudan,
yeah,
again in the region.
Yeah.
And this is the age that we are observing in which the actions and the activities of human is causing some extreme weather events that have impact on our livelihoods. And here again, it's mentioned insecurity, in the issues of cattle raiding, loss of livelihood, of assets. So even as we talk about the Global Human Development Report, it's important that we reflect on the national context and show that these things are not just happening out there in the space, but they're also affecting us, and actions need to be taken to turn this around, at the same time ensure human development.
Right, and you're putting all that into context. Are you saying that human development is bad for the planet?
That's a very good question that the report tries to address. My immediate response is no, human development should not be bad for the planet. Mm-hmm. It may not have been good for the planet so far, but it should not be done, meaning there are ways out of this. Yeah?
Right, right.
I mean, if nature should flourish, human development should not be limited at the same time. How do we then ensure that it is not bad for the planet? Yeah. I mean, before this time or even currently, we continue to rely on fossil fuels.
Right.
And if we continue to do this and not move towards green economies, we're going to continue to affect. So we will develop in terms of increased literacy levels. Health might be a difficulty. Look at what, mm-hmm, is happening with COVID.
Right.
We might have increased in GDP per capita, mm-hmm, but then we are challenged with things like COVID. And then when you have such diseases, they wipe away all the gains you have made,
sure,
even in development. And in fact, I have to quickly say that this is the first year when they did a simulation of the Global Human Development Development Index for 2021, it is likely to be the first year in which we'll have growth in the rivers.
Wow.
Since human development reports were being published from 1990. So it tells you with all the level of development, if we do not take care of the planet, all of that can be wiped away in 1 year. And this is really the reality that we face.
And that's very sad to hear.
Yeah.
Now, the report also provides a comprehensive ranking of each country in the world according to the Human Development Index, ranking South Sudan's HDI value at 0.433, ties with Burundi but surpasses Chad, Central African Republic and Niger. So how do you explain this in layman's language?
Indeed, you're right that the report ranks 189 countries, and they collect the data, of course, of the previous year, and show what is it for level of education for South Sudanese as a whole, what is life expectancy for South Sudanese as a whole, and then what is the GDP per capita, and then they do a composite.
Right.
This is done for all the 189 countries. Mm. It's not surprising in some sense to find this information, because we also know the challenges of a post-conflict country, the challenges in trying to get all children in school, the challenges in getting health systems that are functioning, and of course, for a country also whose GDP depends, whose economic growth depends almost entirely on one commodity, which is oil, with little diversification. Of course, even though there are some efforts that are being made, you will not find the result extremely surprising.
Right.
But in putting into context is to say, to increase human development in South Sudan, we have to be able to look at all these and how interrelated they are. You do not only focus on the, say, the macroeconomic sector and think everything else will trickle down and we resolve it. So that's really the what this is calling for.
Right.
That we put together a multi approach wherein different partners are playing different roles, and of course governments right at the center of things.
Right.
Yeah.
And still on the rankings, and now looking at the life expectancy, still South Sudan ranks 185 out of 189 countries in 2020, and the life expectancy in South Sudan is only 57.9 years. Just explain this to us. What does this mean?
Life expectancy says on average.
Uh-huh.
Again, it doesn't mean, of course, by anybody who gets to 57 years, that's it. No, it's on average.
So now I can take a breather.
Yes, you really should. It's on average. I mean, holding everything else constant, that's another part that needs to be explained.
Right.
So given the health systems as they are currently, given the income levels of people in the country currently, that 57.9 years is the amount of years holding all these things constant that someone in South Sudan will live.
Right.
But it means if you change all these other parameters, if you change the different sources of income that people can afford a better health system, if you put in place better health systems in which people can have health care that addresses their immediate needs, if you ensure people are educated, those years can change.
Okay.
So it's not something to look at as a constant.
Right.
It's something to look at as an opportunity and to be clear about what interventions do we need to put in place to change that figure.
Right. Now, this is a bit concerning. Doesn't this approach just punish some developing countries and let countries with high human development off the hook for centuries of planetary abuse?
That's a really interesting question, because it came up again during the launch yesterday. The Global Human Development Report is really clear about countries that have already been affecting the planet way more than the others, maybe given their level of industrialization and their level of development. Two things that the report does is, one, it's clearly shows that countries, some countries, or probably even most of them, in the high ranking of human development are the ones that seem to show a greater impact on the planet, a greater negative impact on the planet.
Right.
And these countries, of course, require a lot more action that needs to be done. Most countries in the 0.7 and below, you already have mentioned that South Sudan is 0.433, are hardly affected.
Mm.
But, and I think this is where it's very important to clarify,
right,
all countries are required to take action to ensure we do not see things like COVID-19 and what happened. And this is because when incidences like this occur, it affects all countries.
True.
So yes, the countries that are more developed have a higher responsibility to turn around the curve, but that does not absolve other developing countries from not taking actions at the moment.
I hear you. Yeah. So what about countries that outsource their pollution abroad? How does a PHDI treat them?
Yes, very good. So the PHDI, which is the Planetary Human Development Indicator this year, looks at two things. One, it looks at your carbon dioxide emissions, which is within the country.
Right.
But it also looks at your consumption footprint, which is what you consume that is produced from another country.
Mm-hmm.
So given those two, it then measures your PHDI. So if they had only looked at your carbon dioxide emissions within your country, then they will ignore what happens when you outsource your pollution. But because they also count your consumption,
mm-hmm.
it then really takes a composite picture of what a country's footprint is on the planet.
Right, I see that. Now, the shift to renewable of energy seems to be happening, and technology is improving all the time. Do we really need to be worried?
Good question. I think you're right that the shift is happening, but what the report says is that shift is too slow.
Mm.
The pace at which it's happening is really slow. So when you read the report, there is a point that is the convenient point that we want to get. It's actually referred to as the aspirational destination of human development journey. So where do we want to get to? We want to get to the point in which all countries get to R1 on human development index, but at the same time, we are almost zero on the pressure we place on the planet.
Yeah.
No country is at that point at the moment. So if we're saying, yes, technology is improving, we are getting a bit more greener, true, but the pace is really slow as what is required for us to turn around. And because we're already seeing the reality of what the impact is with all the flooding, with COVID-19 and so on, it really requires us to turn around the curve drastically and quickly.
Right. Now, speaking about the pressures inserted on the planet, what does the report say about population growth?
Very interesting. When you read a lot more, when you read into the Human Development Report in detail, the emphasis is not how many people are on the planet. The emphasis is what the people are doing and how we are going about getting our human development.
Right.
In fact, the report did some projections to show that, I can't remember the year exactly, so in 2050, we'll begin to see a decline in global population. But that decline is not going to help depending on the actions that we're actually placing right now. So those countries that have committed to go fossil fuel free by 2030 is really the trajectory that we want to see. So the it's not like population doesn't matter, but it's not the greater emphasis here. It's really the actions of people that matters
the most.
That
are in the planet.
Yes.
Right. So what new insight does the report give on the links between climate change, inequality, and poverty?
I think the first insight to explain here is that the report provides an opportunity to measure. Often we say if you don't count it, mm-hmm. it doesn't count.
True.
So because the report then measures, in fact, this impact, that's a very good insight. So we do not only look at Human Development Index in itself, but we measure how that growth in the Human Development Index is actually affected by the planet. That's one. A second thing that the report brings about that we think is new, and that's an insight we would like to share, is that it does not present a linear solution.
Right.
So there's no one way in which we can resolve it. But it actually says we should look out for solutions within the context. I'll give example very quickly on COVID-19, wherein we may be tempted to think this is a health-related crisis. Yes, it is. But resolving COVID-19 and its impact cannot only be health. There are socioeconomic impacts that have been generated as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a humanitarian context.
Yeah.
So it is looking at all these options in trying to address and also avoid a relapse or a continuation of a similar occurrence in the world that actually matters. Finally, the report is also adding to the discourse to say this is not just another way of working on sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
It really requires, and also not another way of well-known problems and policy solutions that we have, but we want to navigate around and change the norms and the values that we have. And here I want to add again something that is also mentioned in the report, that they did a survey that asked people about what do you think something should be done to turn around the climate change and extreme weather conditions. 80% of people said yes, something needs to be done. When they then asked them, probe further, to say, can you take personal actions?
Right.
Only a quarter of the people think they can take personal action. So we tend to always think the bigger organizations should do it, or this is something that government should address, but we don't look at ourselves as individuals and how we are using plastics and throwing them around everywhere. We are having our waste. Are we recycling them at all? Do we do carpooling, or are we all individually driving our cars and all of the emissions that they generate? So we do have personal actions that we need to take. And those are some of the things that are really clear in this report.
Right. Mm. Now, finally, you kept mentioning COVID-19 in this discussion. So does Anthropocene have anything to do with the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, the report does say that, that we should not be surprised to have seen COVID-19. In fact, scientists had predicted that if we continue with our actions on the planet, we're going to be seeing diseases as such as COVID-19. And the report also says it may not even be the last one if we don't change.
That's
a big signal, exactly, and it's clearly there. Therefore, what we've seen in COVID-19 is clearly indicated in the report as some of the actions. And those are the ones that when you said you enter the age, this age of humans, the age in which our interactions with wildlife, our interactions with our planet has led to things like COVID-19.
Right.
And therefore, it really requires us for a change. Now, one other thing I would like to mention with regards to COVID-19 is we have seen that many countries in Africa, including South Sudan, didn't have the health impact, with the exception, of course, of South Africa and a few others, as much as what we see in developed countries.
Yeah,
but
true.
That's when you're only looking at the direct impact. The indirect impact is really much, much more bigger and graver for many countries in developing countries. I mean, many countries in Africa in particular. We are in, and the practical example for South Sudan is the drop in the prices for oil, which is the main commodity for the economy globally, and that we don't have control over within the countries as a result of slower demand globally.
Right.
Actually constrain the fiscal space. That's the amount of resources the country of, I mean, South Sudan will have for them to act, even address basic social services. Mm. So COVID-19 may not have caused mortality in South Sudan as many other countries, but the impact it created is really huge.
It can be seen in our economy right now.
Yes, So, and I mean, of course, the inflation that we see and so on is really all related to that.
Right.
If you let me say one more thing to conclude around the Human Development Report is there's an analogy in the document that I thought was so interesting when you read it. And where the whole concept of human development started, which is to measure development in a country beyond GDP per capita growth.
Right.
So the report shows that when we look at GDP per capita growth, we're looking at the size of the pie, production in a country at a time. But human development is concerned about the share of that pie that everybody else in that country gets.
Mm.
Because GDP per capita is not a true reflection, of course. It only shows the growth rate and the population.
Yeah.
But now, for this year's report, they're not only looking at the pie and the slices that everybody gets, but they're also looking at the oven where the pie is being baked. So it's really all these components that are very important in terms of ensuring that, yes, you get human development, but within the context in which we will live. And it's not even about the future generation. It's even us here. COVID is not affecting the future generation for now. It's affecting those of us now. Yes.
Right. Interesting. Fatmata, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having us here.
Right.